Well, move, move, move was the, I think, the most famous phrase that most of your players say that you used over and over again. And they said that your practices, from what I understand, you would spend an hour designing a 90-minute practice that was literally to that level of precision. Did you do that regularly and consistently, and why?
Yes, I did. I think I learned that from high school and possibly from my teaching English classes, that I had to have a plan. I had to have a lesson plan for every day. And when I first started teaching, I understood that in teaching English classes. I didn't understand it the way I should have in teaching the various sports that I taught. But I learned that we must be prepared. Otherwise, we're going to waste an enormous amount of time. As a matter of fact, Tony, I'd say my years at UCLA, I probably spent 2 hours every morning with assistants, when I had assistants. I didn't always have them. The last few years I did have, planning the practice session for that afternoon, which will never last over 2 hours, and probably most of the season will be only an hour and a half. But it's practice the full time. It isn't talking. I did very little. I'm talking while a drill's going on, talking to individuals. I did more individual coaching in that sense. Now, I don't have it now because I haven't given it to one of my friends in the coaching profession. But I could have given you every minute of every day of practice I ever had at UCLA. I kept it in a loose-leaf notebook, and when we planned it, I would have it by the minute. And then I put that on. Some of my players call me the 3x5 man because I had our practices on a 3x5 card, which I would watch carefully. My managers had it, so they'd know that at this time they better have 2 balls at this basket and 2 balls there. And players would move quickly from one to another. And when I planned a day's practice, I looked back to see what we'd done on the corresponding day last year and the year before. Now, that took care of every practice that any player I had in which he'd participated, because the freshmen were ineligible. So otherwise, I'd have gone back 3 years. And after the day of practice is over, I sat down in the dressing room and wrote down some notes on the back of this 3x5 card about the practice. And then the next day, when I'm planning the practice the next day, I made little notations along the indenture along this theme paper about certain things, that maybe this was 2 minutes too long, or I needed two more minutes, or things of that sort. And by reviewing back and thinking and analyzing all that, and then thinking in terms of what's coming up this weekend, if we got into the season where we're playing games and who we're playing and where we're playing and so on, and analyzing and taking all these things in consideration. But I enjoyed doing that, and I enjoyed teaching. And you may have heard me say, heard of me being quoted as saying that Cervantes said, "The road is better than the end."
Yes.
And I sort of equate that with practicing and the games. And I think it was Robert Louis Stevenson said, it's better to travel hopefully than to arrive.
Yes.
And that's about the same thing. And I really enjoyed it. And now, since my retirement, I've been asked so many times, do I miss it? I miss the practices and working with the players and the planning of the practices. And I don't miss the games or the tournaments or all the other fol-de-rol.
Well, the amount of precision that you've had in your instruction, I understand you kept statistics on the players even during practice, not just in games. Is that true?
Yes, I did. There are many things. Now, I didn't keep as many statistics, but there are certain things that I wanted to know. I wanted to see what the trends were. I wanted to know, and not depending completely on my memory.
Yes.
If you start depending completely on your memory, well, I don't have that type of memory.
Well, you've got 80 years to remember.
I did that, and certain things I'd not want to see, if maybe we were going too much to one side of the floor and then we weren't to the other. I want to see if we were getting an equal number of approximate equal number of shots when we got into our 5-on-5 work for each position on the floor. And some players will get more just because they're more gifted and can do more individually. But I wanted the vast majority of our shots, for example, on offense, to come from within the framework of our team, not an individual. I disliked one-on-one basketball and wanted it to come out of the team. But there are times when you do have the one-on-one. So I wanted to primarily check trends. It was why I kept certain statistics.
I know I've done quite a bit of research about the Japanese style of management, and you know, one of the philosophies that actually the most of Japanese business is built on came from Dr. Edward Deming, who we talked about a little bit earlier. And his whole philosophy is based upon the idea of never-ending improvement, that every day you must improve something and that you have to measure it so that you know that that's really true. How do your philosophies dovetail with Deming's, or vice versa, maybe his with yours?
Well, certainly that's my belief, too, that you never stand still. You're either moving upward a little bit or you're going the other way a little bit. We can't expect to go upward too quickly, but we can sure go down very quickly. The slide down can be in a hurry.
Yes.
Progress comes steady if you're preparing yourself for that. You're giving it the consideration of all aspects that you should. You must not let adversity, if you seem to be held up, bother you. Because good things, and these the ideas that I tried to get across, all good things come through adversity.
And yet most people try to avoid adversity.
Yes, and as someone said, when I look back, it seems to me all the grief that had to be left me when the pain was over, stronger than I was before. And I believe that. You get stronger physically through weights, adversity. You get stronger mentally through increasingly difficult subjects in school. You don't start out with calculus, you start out with arithmetic.
Yes.
And I think we get stronger morally and spiritually through adversity to some extent. So, and yet we do fear it. We don't want adversity, and yet that's what makes us better. We should learn from it, and we certainly should not fear it. You can't get stronger, say, in an athletic point of view if you constantly are playing inferior opponents. Mm-hmm. You may start playing to their level.
Yes.
You've got to be challenged to improve. Part of my job, I felt, as a teacher, was to challenge the students under my supervision. And there's so many things that must be taken into consideration for that. You may be, I'm probably sure you're familiar with some of the things that Wilford A. Peterson has written, and I picked up many years ago one on the art of living, and he has others, and I just recently received another one from him. And under leadership, he points out some things which I thought were true, but maybe didn't concentrate on them as much. For example, one that struck home very much is that the leader must always be concerned in finding the best way, not in having his own way. And another one was that the leader must make sure that all those under his supervision know that they're working with the leader, not for the leader.
Yes.
And I think you have to do that now. In my basketball teams at UCLA, they're not playing for me. I didn't want them to feel that, but we're all working together for a common cause. And it's up to the leader to get that across and not get lost in his importance. Then he becomes a dictator type, and that doesn't work out too well.
It seems to me that in reading some of the documents and talking to some of the people that you've coached, that you really coached with tremendous strength. You expected a tremendous amount from your players, but they all perceived that you cared very deeply for them, that you were a coach of love.
Well, the coach whose philosophy I admired was Amos Alonzo Stagg, and he once made the statement, he never had a player he didn't love. See, he had many he didn't like and didn't respect, but he loved them just the same. Well, I, in my early years of teaching, I would tell my players, I like you all the same, and I'm going to treat you all the same. Now, I never did. I was thinking that I was, but I wasn't. I didn't like them all the same. They didn't like me all the same. They didn't like each other all the same.
Right.
And yet I was saying that, and I never treated them all the same. I didn't want to show favoritism, but I think the surest way to show partiality and favoritism is to treat everybody alike.
Interesting.
I think that's the surest way. I say, I'm going to try to give you the treatment you earn and deserve. And I have to make the judgment on that, and I know that I'm imperfect and I can be wrong, but if I am, I'm the one that's going to get caught up for it, because this is my vocation. And if I don't do things properly, it'll be found out, and then I'll be somewhere else. So in many ways, it's little things like that that help you do well in the end more than the techniques of the game.
Yes.